You know, Amy, I think that what we're seeing is an effort by all the candidates to distinguish from each other where they stand on issues of war and terrorism. And there are some significant differences, but unfortunately, I'm afraid the differences aren't as significant as they need to be if we were to have a really solid debate over this issue at the center of the Democratic primaries. So far, that has not been. It was the centerpiece of this debate. But the differences on economic issues are far more massive. The differences on domestic issues are far more massive than—and even some of the international issues, like trade and in the environment, on climate, where there are vast differences between Secretary of State Clinton and Bernie Sanders, for instance, let alone Governor O'Malley. On the question of war, we're not seeing such vast disparities. There is a significance in the fact that Senator Sanders had opposed the war in Iraq. That was a strong position. Senator Clinton at the time, of course, had supported it. However, now they're both saying that we should go after ISIS using conventional military force. They both say troops on the ground that should not be American. Senator Sanders explicitly says they should be Saudi troops. Secretary Clinton doesn't say exactly who they should be, just says they shouldn't be American, they should be Muslim troops, as if that was going to somehow mean they were so effective. But both of them are saying, yes, we go after ISIS and we go after the Assad regime. So even Senator Sanders, unfortunately, is saying, yes, we want regime change. It's just his difference with with Secretary Clinton is that he thinks those things should be sequential. He said, let's concentrate on ISIS now, and then we can go after Assad. Clinton is saying, let's go after both of them at the same time. It was left to Governor O'Malley to actually say, although he said, I agree with both of them, but then his own articulation of policy focused much more on issues of diplomacy, humanitarian support. And he had an interesting idea that none of the others had mentioned of making the head of USAID, the head of the assistance and development arm of the State Department, a separate cabinet post, really elevating that. So elevating assistance and diplomacy over war. The two leading candidates, Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton, both were saying yes to war against ISIS using conventional military force, bombing, drone strikes, and air ground troops that are not American. And they are both saying, go after ISIS, differing on the timing of that. The one significant difference was on the question of a no-fly zone. And here, Secretary Clinton really played out her well-known hawkishness, where she said, we absolutely must have a no-fly zone, and as she put it, both for humanitarian purposes and to challenge Russia. Because, of course, ISIS has no planes. Al-Qaeda has no planes. So a no-fly zone is going to be targeting planes of either Russia or Iran or Syria, which means the U.S. going to war directly against the Syrian regime and potentially against Russia. So that kind of war talk from Secretary Clinton, when it was her own colleague in the cabinet, former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who said in the context of the Libya mobilization, which Secretary Clinton was leading. She was really the cheerleader on Libya. And it was at that time that the Secretary of Defense said, let's be clear, a no-fly zone starts with going to war, in that case, against Libya. What we know is that the anti-aircraft system of Libya hardly existed. And yet, he said, we would have to start with war. In Syria, the anti-aircraft system is a very developed system, which would take an enormous campaign, air campaign, and potentially more, to take out, as they call it, the anti-aircraft system in Libya that would lead to the ability to impose a no-fly zone against Russian planes. It's a very, very dangerous position that Secretary Clinton was talking about.